Well, I'm glad this morning that we have good news. That's what the gospel means. It's good news. I'm glad that there's a glorious freedom. Freedom from self and from the flesh that only God can give. And that takes something. But I'm so glad we have good news this morning. I'm so glad that we know that this is available for every soul. I'm so happy to know that this morning. I want to look at some good news, kind of a real simple little message this morning, but I feel like the Lord gave me the thought and some scriptures here. I just want to share it with you. We've talked some in the past about here recently about the Lord leading people, leading the children of Israel where he did. It's a very difficult place there between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. God was there. He led them there, and he glorified himself there, and he greatly increased faith in that place, and a great deliverance he gave to those people. And I want to look at Isaiah 41 and 17 this morning. Isaiah 41 and 17 and 19. It says, when the poor and needy seek water. I said it was a pretty simple little message this morning. But you know what? Sometimes we're poor and needy, aren't we? And the scripture gives you and me hope at those times. The scripture says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. You know, all of these places, all these things are so significant this morning. You know, the scripture tells us that when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, does that mean that we're out of luck? Does that mean that we are out of help, that we're going to surely die? You know, if we look at things only in the flesh, and the Israelites did that again and again, and they was like, why did you lead us out here in the wilderness to perish? Why now look at all this trouble? There isn't anything to drink. What are we going to do? And you know, God supplied, didn't he? They said that when they come up to the Red Sea. But do you know that the Lord's word is? And he wants us, we sang some songs about faith. Do you know that he wants us to believe? He wants us to have confidence in him. He wants us to know that though we are poor and needy, though we come into a place where there really is thirst, where we really would perish if there was not a miracle. Have you ever been there? Where if God doesn't do something, something bad's going to happen. We're going to be in big trouble if God don't do something. Have you ever been against that kind of a wall? I have. I have never seen the Lord fail. I have seen him come through. I have seen him perform what his word says he will do. And this morning, if you feel poor and needy, and you feel thirsty, I want to give you some good news today. The Lord wants to give you water. What he doesn't want us to do, and he allows tests of faith, he allows us to come into these places. Sometimes he puts us in these places, and we're there. He wants to know what our response is going to be. Are we going to believe him and serve him anyway? Are we going to believe him and live for him in spite of anything? Or will we be turned back because of what we see? Because of our desire for necessary water? Because of, I'm thirsty and there is no water. What is a man supposed to do if he's thirsty and there isn't any water? He'll die, won't he? after a while. Yes, he will. But I will tell you, we must not forget, when God is there, we are not without water. Because he says here, I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. You ever seen a river on top of a mountain? You know what? That's not where they run, is it? But he said, I'll open them up. I'll open them up in high places. I'll open them up where there isn't any way for a river to run because there isn't any water coming down the valleys. It's up there on high. I'll open it up where it's needed. I'll open it up when you need it. In the most desperate of places. He said here, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. You know where the valleys, sometimes we speak of valley as a low place, don't we? A place where we need God especially. He said he'll open fountains there. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. You know what he's talking about there? A desert place. Somewhere where it's dry, where it's thirsty. You ever been to the desert? I've seen the desert. We've probably, most of us, seen the desert. Do you know that it's a very dry place? If you get out, we got out in the desert one time, and we went down to the Colorado River and jumped in. And do you know that by the time we got back to the vehicle, we were completely dry. All of our clothes were dry, clear to the... Everything was dry. It was completely dry just walking up that little distance. That's how dry the desert can be. It can sap all the moisture in just a little bit. It's that dry. It's hot. It's a hard place. And do you know sometimes the Lord, for the glory of His name, and for your faith and mine, He leads us into those places. And he tells us here, I'll open rivers in high places. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shita tree, and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree. You ever seen fir trees in the desert? Not unless somebody's watering it an awful lot. You won't see such a thing. It's dry. It's barren. There's only certain things can live there. But he said, I'll set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. Don't we love to see pine trees? It's where there's a plenty of rain, isn't it? That's where you see lots of pine trees, lots of moisture. He said, I'll set the pine tree in your desert places. I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to tell us this morning. Folks, the Lord knows that we come into these barren places. But does he expect us to die there? Or does he expect us, as the Israelites did, to throw up our hands and decide, where is God? Why did he lead me out here? He's going to lead me here to die? What's going to happen now? We'd have done better to stay back there in Egypt under the hard taskmaster of those that beat us and killed our children. We'd have done better. That's what they said. Those kind of things anyway. And do you know that the Lord wants us to know he'll plant in those desert places those things that are good this morning. God help us when it gets hard and when we find a place where there is no good and it seems like we are only going to be damaged by this. God help us to realize this is where God wants to open a fountain. This is where he wants to make a river. And at verse 20 goes on to say that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. And the Holy One of Israel hath created it. That's what God wants us to know. And he says, that's what he says, that they may see. That we might understand. Folks, the world doesn't understand anymore. The world doesn't understand anymore the reality of God, a real God, the God of heaven that speaks, that lives in people's lives and hearts. It's for you and me to provide a witness. with the Lord working with us this morning. I want to turn over to Psalms 86. You know, we read so many psalms of David and different ones, and we often, many of us read those, don't we, from time to time, and we get so much good out of it. But I want to tell you, David was a man that felt the pinch and the need of water in dry places. He says here, this is a psalm of David, starting in verse 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Do you know that this was David? This is the one that wrote the Psalms, many of them. This is the one that we receive much inspiration from. He is the one that God worked through to do many mighty things. And we read the acts of David, and we read what he's done, and it inspires our hearts. He's the one that went up against the giant and saw him and was thoroughly disgusted with this great army of God. And all of them looked at the big giant, and they were trembling before him. And he said, "Is there not a cause?" I believe, wasn't that where he said that? "Is there not a cause?" David saw something totally different. He saw God in that trial. And he saw the name of God in that trial. He saw that God was on trial, and somebody needed to believe in him so he could work through them. You know, this morning, David was a man that many times, read through the writings, many times he felt poor and needy. Many times God allowed him to feel a total dependence upon God. He was hunted. He was hunted as an animal for years. Saul hunted him. He finally got him closed in. He had him. David couldn't get away then. And you know what happened? Somebody attacked Israel off yonder, and he had to leave. Saul had to leave his prize after he had hunted for so long. And you know, that's what God does this morning. I said it was a simple little message. The Lord wants to be to you and me what he has been to all his people throughout the ages. He wants us to believe in him. He doesn't want us to throw up our hands and complain and leave him behind, and somehow God can't take me through this. I want to tell you something. God can take us through anything, whatever it is. "Preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." Lord, every day I'm crying to you. Save me. Save me from my fate. "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." Do you know that David felt his humanity too many times, didn't he? And he cried unto God. Even in David's failure, he cried unto God. Unlike Saul, that defended himself. I want to look on over now a couple of places where the Lord did supply water in dry places. You know, I was surprised at, there's several places where the Lord supplied water. In 2 Kings 3 and verse 9, "So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host, and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, 'Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. They were going up to battle. Here was the king of Moab coming down, and they supposed, I guess, that he was well fit and well ready. They didn't take water. They were out of hope here. And so the king said the obvious. Alas, the Lord's called these three kings together and all this army to deliver them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, now here, you remember Jehoshaphat? He was a man that knew something about God, didn't he? Now these other kings were wicked men. They didn't serve God. But Jehoshaphat knew something about God. Jehoshaphat had served the Lord. And he knew the Lord. And he said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Here's Elisha. He knows about it. He was with Elijah. And everyone knew of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now they did the right thing there, didn't they? And in verse 14, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. You know, these men were wicked. They were on a wicked... They didn't do the will of God. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. I hope that all of us here have experienced that. I hope we know what it means for the word of the Lord to come to us. I hope we know what it means for the Lord to speak to us. Because see, we're not in the Old Testament times anymore. We're in the time of the gospel, the full gospel, where the Spirit of God dwells in our hearts. And God wants to speak to you and me. You know, Elisha knew, I need something from God here. I need something from the word of the Lord. That'll fix things. And he said, let's see, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Do you know this morning? That's what we need, folks. We're going to come into these kind of places where we don't know what to do, and we would surely die. We would surely perish from serving God, for sure. We come into tight places through our life. Do you know, this man knew what to do, Elisha, and he knew the voice of the Lord. And so, as this minstrel played this music, the Lord began to talk to him. Do you know this morning, it's imperative that we learn how to get a hold of God. Do we know how to stop and seek the Lord until he rains upon us his voice and his word? Until he rains his victory, his life within us? That's what God does. He doesn't leave us in the desert places. This is God. Why would he leave us in the desert places? He's told us there's going to be the pine tree there. And there's going to be these beautiful fir trees there. And all those things. Do you know those things had some meaning in them? And so we read on down here. We'll start again at 15. Let's see. We'll go on down to 17 and then 20. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now, I don't know what God did. Maybe he had it rain 14 inches up the road, and it came down there, and it filled those trenches with water. But in the morning, the trenches were filled with water. Whether they just filled up or whatever happened, the Spirit of the Lord knew what to do. I want to encourage us today. God will stand in for our battles today. But we need a word from Him. And that's the difference. The King Jehoshaphat knew we need something from God. We need something. Isn't there a prophet around here? Because he knew he needed someone to get a hold of God. Isn't there someone that can get a hold of God? Do you know that the Lord said one place, I looked for a man to stand in the gap, and there was none. There's times when there's groups of people and there's nobody that knows how to get a hold of the Lord. There's no man that lives in such a way that God will speak to him. Do you know this morning, God wants to speak to us. He wants to give us the answers to our dry places and to our problems and all of those things. I want to look over in Isaiah 35. Some scriptures here, Isaiah 35 and 1. We're going to read little ways there. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Listen to this. Here Isaiah in another place is telling us the desert will blossom like a rose. Now what's the desert? A place where there isn't hardly any water? A place where roses don't grow as far as the common rose? It's a place where people die if there's not water. And Isaiah is telling us something very important here this morning. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. Did you know that's what God will do for us? He'll take our hardest place, and it'll blossom abundantly. Can we give Him our hardest place this morning? Can we give Him that place that nothing good is there? What good is there? Only death is there. Well, He said it'll blossom abundantly. And rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Carmel, as I understand it, was emblematic of beauty. This is what the commentary says. Carmel was emblematic of beauty. Lebanon was of majesty. And Sharon was very fertile. It was of fertility. Very good places. And he said, the blessing that is in Lebanon of these places, and these other places, Carmel, Sharon, it's going to be there. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Do you know that as we sang the songs of faith, who is it that will believe the report? Who is it that will believe God and will stand flat-footed and refuse to be moved? Refuse to allow the enemy to move them, no matter what. That's what God's looking for this morning, because He'll do the rest. He'll give the strength. He'll give the water. He'll give the beauty and the majesty. He'll give the fertile place. But what He wants us to do is be there, right where He took us, to the desert. He wants us to be there. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out. Now that's not talking about a wilderness like we think, full of trees. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way. Do you know that right there, the Lord's going to make a way for His people? He said a highway's going to be there. A highway. A highway isn't a new thing, isn't it? That's not a term we invented. There was a highway. He said there's going to be one way back here in Isaiah's time. He said a highway's going to be there and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. You know, I'll take the ones that don't have any judgment and I'll give them judgment. I'll take the fool and I'll change his heart. I'll change his mind. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. That's why we say, folks, there isn't in God's church, not in His counting, there isn't any evil beast. There isn't any of that kind of thing. God wants to help all of us. He wants to change all of us. He said here, the fool won't err therein. And so He says, it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. What's the redeemed? God bought us back. He bought us back. The devil took us over. Was there any hope for you and me? No. Was there any? But God sent Jesus Christ, and He's redeemed us. And the redeemed are going to walk there this morning. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, you know, if we think that in this life there's not going to be any sorrow, we don't understand. But we don't have to have the sorrow that sin brings. We don't have to have the sighing that Satan brings into our life. Will we sorrow? Will we sigh? Will we even for our own humanity sometimes, our own needs, sigh? And so, yes, we will, but we're not talking about here ravenous beasts. We're not talking about sinful and evil things. The Lord said the redeemed are going to walk here this morning. Oh, what hope that gives us, isn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ has come to redeem us back to Him, to give us life, to let us walk on a highway. A highway is a way that's lifted up. It's higher than the ground around it. And He said in this desert place, there's going to be a highway and a way. And the redeemed are going to walk there this morning. That gives me hope this morning. Thank God for it. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I want to look at another place or two. Exodus 15. And 22, just a few verses here. You know, the children of Israel, as they journeyed out of Egypt and through that desert land, they came to a place, verse 22 says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went there, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, that's several days. They were getting thirsty. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, do you know, it just seems a little odd to me that they just came through the Red Sea. They just came. And they came to this place. Well, what about me and you? Has the Lord ever done something really major for us? And right up the road then we face something like this? There's no water to drink? That's a natural thing. Hey, if there's no water to drink, what are we going to do? You know, but instead of calling on the Lord, they began to aggravate. They began to accuse Moses and bring accusation against him. And it says, and he cried unto the Lord. Thank the Lord, there was somebody there that knew about God. There was somebody there that could get a hold of God. And you know what he did? He didn't murmur. He didn't say, God, why have you let this happen? Now you just did all these miracles and we're done with them. No, he said. And the Lord showed him. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. I'm convinced that tree didn't have anything in it. But he just told Moses, I want you to cut that tree down, take it over there and throw it in the water. I'll make the water sweet for you. It was just his obedience. He didn't do anything great. Do you know sometimes God just wants to give us a little something? What do we do? I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. But somebody does. God does. We need to get a hold of him. He might say, just cut that tree down, throw it in there. And it says, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And then he went on to tell them he'd be with them. I want to read in Numbers now, 20th chapter in the first verse. You know, when you think about the children of Israel traveling through the desert, it's no wonder they come up against the problem of not having any water every little ways, because there wasn't any water. And so, no wonder. But God was leading them. He really wanted to lead them right on out of that, but they didn't let him do that. But he still took care of them there. In the first verse of the 20th chapter of Numbers, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. Wow. That sounds pretty stiff to me. I can hardly believe they would do that. But you know what? I see people do that. I see people forget all about the Red Sea. I see people forget all about the things God has done. And they throw in the towel for something like this, where God wants to actually do something wonderful. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded them. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Do you know this was a very critical place right here? Do you know we come to some very critical places? This wasn't even, God didn't want them to stay in this place. God wanted to take them into a place that had figs and grapes already there, and all those things already planted. But here they were. And do you know that they were in such a vulnerable place that it angered Moses and Aaron? It angered them. And they lost control of themselves. And they took the rod, Moses did, and he smote the rock. And he said, hear now, ye rebels. Don't you know, that would have been a little aggravating, wouldn't it? I think it would have been. But do you know that Moses was not able to go into the land for that very thing. And him and Aaron both died before they went in there. That seems a tragedy to me. Do you know that the close places that God allows you and me to go into, he wants us to depend on him. Hold ourselves. Stand firm. Don't throw in the towel and don't break and run. Don't do foolish things. Stand and believe God. Is God real or not? Will he work or not? If he's real, then let God be God. I think Elijah said that, didn't he? Let God be God then. The Lord wants to be God to you and me. It was a very dangerous place here, and Moses and Aaron let it discomfort them. They just let the whole thing, it was too much, and they let it happen. They didn't have to, or God wouldn't have punished them for it. So this morning, I just want to encourage us. I want to turn back to where we started from, that chapter anyway, Isaiah 41. And remind us here in verse 10 that the Lord tells us, "Fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." That's why we're not dismayed. That's why we don't break and run. That's why we don't break out with our flesh and do as Moses and Aaron. Moses smote the rod. You rebels, you know, he was tired of it. I think I'd have been tired of it too. But oh, let's don't break and run. Let's don't allow the enemy. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, I'll drop on down to the 13th. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." You know, I want to tell you this morning, we may feel like a worm, and we might be kind of like a worm. But I want to tell you something. God told us to fear not. And he told us that the reason we don't fear is because he will help us. Let's let the Lord help us. Let's don't foolishly ever charge God. Let's don't ever look at him and say, "Why? I should have never gone this way. I should have never got..." The Lord wants to help us this morning. Amen.